Yes, come, Lord Jesus, return quickly. But come to us now also in your word and in your body and blood, which you will give us in a little while. We come to you. We ask you to give us your Holy Spirit that we may accurately perceive what it is you want us to hear today, and that we pray that he would empower us to apply it in our lives in the way that you desire, and that is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hast thou been to the Bristol Renaissance Fair? That mystical northern kingdom of knights and damsels, elves and minstrels, jesters and jugglers, and exotic merchandise for thy castle, where almost anything can be had for a price, but it ain't cheap, where the old proverb, a fool and his money are soon parted, is proven again every weekend from July through Labor Day, where 20th century gold passeth magically into 16th century bags and coffers, where ale and Pepsi floweth freely, and everyone filleth himself with too much food. It's been a while since I was there, but I've been there a few times, and verily, it's pretty much fun. The Renaissance Fair, for just in case you're just crawling out from under your rock and don't know about it, is a 16th century English village which has been recreated on the Wisconsin border. It's a tourist attraction that costs a king's ransom to get into and usually quite a bit more to get out of. There's jousting and juggling, Shakespearean comedy, singing and dancing, and mud wrestling. Shops sell all kinds of arts and crafts, pottery and pewter, weavings and clothing, carved wood and blown glass, pretty much anything that you can imagine could have been produced 500 years ago. And then there's the food. It's expensive naturally, but it's served in generous amounts. And everywhere you go, you see people eating pastries, meat pies, fish and chips, fruit crepes. It's no place to go if you're hungry unless you didn't bring any money. Now everybody knows that food costs money, whether it's at the Renaissance Fair or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Mariano's. People need to eat, and those who will produce food will feed them for a fee. Some people can easily afford the finest fare. Some people can only afford the simplest food. And there are others who can't get it at all, even though their very life depends on it. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus takes care of a food problem. He feeds more than 5,000 people by multiplying a little boy's lunch. That's a really amazing story, right? But you know, those people were not only hungry for bread, they were also hungry for something else. Do you know what it is? Being hungry or thirsty doesn't only mean for food or drink. It means to want something, to feel a need for something. And people feel a hunger for a lot of different things. Some people are hungry for money. Others are hungry for fun. Some people want to control other people. Other people want to control their future. Some people want revenge so bad they can taste it. Some people want to understand life, so they delve into learning or sometimes into cults or strange religions. Some people just want to escape, and they find it in getting drunk or doing drugs. But all those things, those alternatives for hunger, you know what they are? Junk food. Unnourishing at best, often harmful, sometimes deadly. It kind of reminds me of the Beggar's Mud Show when I was at the Renaissance Fair the last time. There were these guys who competed to outdo each other at foolish and disgusting things in mud, even eating it. That was really gross. But you know, in the same way, the devil fools people into eating spiritual mud and thinking that somehow it will be good for them. Isaiah, speaking to us in our Old Testament lesson today, says to us, "Why do you waste your money on worthless things and work so hard for things that won't make you feel any better?" You see, the cravings for things that we have, the things of this world, are really a sign of our spiritual hunger. St. Augustine, the church father, said, "My soul is restless until it finds its rest in thee." Blaise Pascal, the French mathematician and philosopher, wrote, "There is a Jesus-shaped hole in everyone's heart that only he can fill." What people really need, what you and I really need, whether we know it or not, is the repair of our sin-broken relationship with God, to be in a right relationship with him, to know that we are accepted, forgiven, and safe. And then all the other things, the use and enjoyment of what is available to us, food, fun, work, human relationships, and other things, those follow from getting that right. God feeds us with food that will not rot, will not poison us, and he gives us treasures that will not rust or decay or evaporate. Yum. But how do we get that food from God? How does God feed us? Well, the answer is so simple that I hardly need to say it. But at the same time, it's so misunderstood and neglected that it bears repeating. Simply, God feeds us in his word and sacraments. In church, in personal and family devotions, in Bible class or a small group or Sunday school, you will find a tasty banquet, not the junk food of the world or the poison of the devil. What God offers you is such a huge promise. And you might think, well, it's so great. It must cost a lot, like the Renaissance Fair, right? Or maybe to get it, you need to really work at it really hard to earn it. Or you need to do something truly significant with your life so that you'll deserve it. Here's Isaiah again. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost." The sustenance that God provides is free. You can't buy it. You can't work to earn it. You can't demand it or deserve it. Everything that God gives is just that, a gift. Like that abundant fish and bread that Jesus used to feed more than 5,000 people. They weren't such great people. They hadn't done anything to earn it or deserve it. They were just there. And Jesus just passed it out to everyone who was hungry. At the same time, what he really wanted them to have was something else, something that he spoke about elsewhere in John chapter 6, where he said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." That's what he wants for you too. What are you hungry for? I mean, what do you think that you're hungry for? Be honest with yourself. What is it that drives you every day? What gets you out of bed? What motivates you? What pushes you to do whatever it is that you do? Wealth? Power? Success? Popularity? Pleasure? What is it? If you get them, they will not satisfy you, at least not for long. And what if you get them and enjoy them and then die? Then what have you got? At that moment, you will suddenly realize, if you have not before, that all those things were just temporary, really trivial, and ultimately worthless. Walk away from the junk food. Come to the table. Eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Come. Believe. Be nourished. Live. Amen.